you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm very happy today to be speaking with Terrence Narcisse. Did I get it correct, Terrence?
That is correct, Mickey.
Terrence is the founder and CEO of the East Harris County Empowerment Council. How are you, Terrence?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And of course, the big question is, what is the East Harris County Empowerment Council?
The East Harris County Empowerment Council is a nonprofit organization based in Houston, Texas, but we primarily focus on the unincorporated communities that surround the city of Houston, which is in the county, Harris County. And so the organization focuses on, is a community development organization that is insanely obsessed with creating community impact for the people that we serve in the communities of Crosby, Channelview, Sheldon, Galena Park, Jacinto City, and North Shore.
Insanely obsessed. That sounds like it could be a little unhealthy.
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, but our communities have been marginalized and underserved for so long. And so we are essentially making up for all of the lost time by being passionate advocates for those that we serve.
So what does service mean? What kinds of things do you do for your communities?
So we consider ourselves to be the airport of East Harris County. Our community does not have many service providers in terms of what you would expect to see in a normal city. Like with the mayor. Essentially, unincorporated means that we don't have an actual mayor in our community. And so that's how, that's what we feel is why things are happening the way that they are happening, is because we don't have that community champion that would be there to help us, fight or to get resources and opportunities that you would normally have. And so we're connecting with organizations all across the country that have a desire to serve those that make up the people in our community, which are majority, minority, low income, Hispanic, African American, communities. And so we connect with those organizations and then connect them to the people that we serve. And so we see our passengers in an airport analogy. Those we serve are the passengers. Those that serve alongside us are the planes. And it's our job as the airport to connect both sides.
That is a fantastic analogy. And I think we should come back to that in a second. Okay. But first, I want to ask you, why you? Why are you the person to drive, to take point on this initiative? What puts you into the seat, so to speak?
I ask myself that every day. Why me? So in 2008, I had a childhood friend. I was 18 years old. And one day my mom called and said that he was killed in an auto accident and a head-on collision. And he died from internal bleeding a few hours later. And that day kind of just like time stood still. And, some time later, we had the services and the pastor was asking at the services, what will your legacy be when you leave here? Because newsflash, everyone, no one makes it out, alive. And so one day this will be, you here, and people will gather to celebrate you. But the question is, what will they say when you can't speak for yourself? And so I didn't know what a legacy was, obviously. 18-year-old kid, first-generation college student, trying to figure some things out. And I thought about, well, when it's my time to go, what would I want people to say about me? What would I want to be known for? And then I thought about, well, people say nice things about people who volunteer. And so then I started to volunteer to go back to my community where I was raised, to give back and be of service and help with community cleanups and organize community-based projects that would just bring, you know, joy and happiness to the people who live there. Because as I mentioned before, it's up to the people in our communities to decide what we want and then to figure out how to marshal those resources and opportunities to get it. But that wasn't clear to me at the time. We just always felt that our community didn't get its fair shake. It always felt like we were the last ones to get the little bit of what's left, even if there was something left. Just thinking about, you know, what that actually looked like. And so, you know, just started that journey. At the time, I had both of my great grandmothers were still alive. All of my grandparents are still alive, and they were from these communities where they weren't getting a fair shake. And so I, you know, decided to make up my mind to say, hey, well, I can do what I can to give back, because one day I'll have to, my legacy will have to speak, you know, for me. And so that this long journey has ensued of a winding road to get to where we are today. But it was birthed out of that idea of what will my legacy be when I leave here, reaching out, you know, building partnerships, collaborations, inviting people into our community to help build and support the people and the organizations who live here and who give here, who work here, who learn here, just to make East Harris County better than what it was the day previous or the day before.
So, and first of all, I applaud your efforts. Absolutely. I think it's a very cool thing to consciously look at the legacy one leaves behind. And that's something that not a lot of people in my world do, I think. And when I say my world, I mean just average folks who go through their day doing their jobs, living their lives. You know, they may be the most well-meaning people in the world, but they may never take an enlightened look at what it means to leave a legacy. So I think that's a pretty important thing to do. And thank you for pointing that out.
No problem. Always happy to help.
Well,
and
Well,
and hopefully like one day that people will begin to take that to heart. And I think if we spent more time thinking about where we want things to go, we may actually end up either there or somewhere close to that in that direction. Because the truth of the matter is no one makes it out alive.
Right. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all my friends and peers do that. Maybe they do have that little internal dialogue about the legacy they leave behind. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I really don't. I just live every day trying to do the thing that I like to do, which is things like this podcast or helping nonprofits do a better job. But I have never framed that internal conversation for myself as leaving a legacy. So thank you for making me think about that. That's good stuff. As you do this, you know, let's go back to the airport analogy. You talk about the passengers, which are the people in the community, and the airplanes, which are the other organizations around you. How do you reach each of those? How do you recruit more airplanes, and what's in it for them? And then how do you load and transport passengers?
Just so, you know, with any airport, there's it serves kind of two purposes. It's connecting flights, people that are passing through to move to somewhere else. And there's also a direct flight where, you know, Mickey can or Terrence can get on the plane in Houston and go straight to Chicago if that airline has that seat available. Or there may be a detour if Mickey's or Terrence is going to go from Houston to Atlanta, from Atlanta to New York. And so on the connecting side, we have a strategic partnerships manager and staff that are responsible for going out and developing partnerships and relationships with organizations all across the world. Essentially, we are happy to essentially to be PayPal, to be the PayPal. We are not, as we proudly say, we're not Visa, we're not MasterCard, we're not American Express, we are PayPal. We integrate with other organizations because we believe that when we work together, everyone wins. And so, you know, that's the connecting side. And then on the direct flight side, we have a community impact department that has five programs around health equity, leadership and learning, economic opportunity, recovery and resilience, as well as community impact. And so those five issue areas make up our community impact department. And those are our direct services that we provide straight to the people in our community. And then you mentioned earlier about what's in it for other planes. Well, essentially, eventually they get access to new markets. So if you think about, you know, whenever an airplane, an airline company is saying, hey, we're going to go to Dallas, well, that opens up a new market, or we're going to go to Honolulu, Hawaii. So that gives them access, direct access to new markets. And so, as I mentioned before, since many of those organizations don't serve our community, or they serve the quote unquote greater Houston area, that doesn't mean that they have assets all across the greater Houston area. That just means that that's their kind of broad demographic market. Whereas in East Harris County, we are considered a sub-market of the greater Houston area. And so they get access to new clients, as quote unquote, as the word would be in a nonprofit term, or new customers. We consider them to be neighbors, because like the commercial says, like a good neighbor, you know, East Harris County Empowerment Council is there. Right. I'm going to write that down, because that's really good for the marketing side of the organization.
just don't get a cease and desist, you know, just
right.
That's good. So, and I want to lead up to talking about your management efforts and your management style. But first, it must have taken a sheer force of will to get this started. How did you get that ball rolling for your community?
Mickey, literally one relationship at a time, and so sitting down, talking to people, and asking questions. Why does our community not have what it needs? Who's responsible for getting us what we feel like we need, our due? You know, we pay taxes to the government, you know, we vote, we do all these things, and for whatever reason, things just never seem to be here. And so, you know, just having those one-off conversations with other residents and leaders in the community, pastors, bringing people together, just thinking and dreaming about what would it look like if we could X to achieve Y. And so throughout all of those different meetings, we kind of begin to coalesce around, you know, well, if no one's coming to save us, then we have to save ourselves. And then so how do we save ourselves, and what does that look like? And then how do we organize ourselves in a way that will allow us not only to save ourselves, but to go out and support our communities? Because what we found over the time doing the work is that people didn't want saviors. They needed advocates and supporters and allies that could come alongside them to help them in their communities achieve whatever XYZ they wanted to achieve. And so I remember one day we had a meeting, and I was, you know, before we realized the whole idea of most of us didn't have mayors, asking the question, well, who's your mayor? It was like, we don't have one. Well, who's your mayor? Well, we don't have one in our community either. Well, we don't have one, and you all have two small cities, and that's not, I mean, you have a mayor, but it's not like a, you know, a big city mayor. Okay, well, that means something, and that may be why we're experiencing life the same, because all of our communities are contiguous and we're all neighbors. And so thinking through some of those pieces, it became clear that We don't have the proper infrastructure that, or the normal infrastructure that most communities would have, in terms of a champion and being able to marshal, again, government or municipal resources. So we organized ourselves into a nonprofit and said, hey, that we could be the connecting piece to the community, to be able to be advocates, to be the marketing arm, if you will, because essentially it's like having two homes, and one home, in terms of a municipal city, you would have a mother and a father and the children. And then for the unincorporated, it's like you have a whole bunch of children, and that's no one's in charge. And on any given day, anyone can be in charge. And so you have to learn how to work together when you don't have a full stack, as they say, and looking at who will be responsible for, you know, cleaning up, who will be responsible for cooking and cleaning and all the things to maintain and manage, you know, your home. And so our community is now in a much better position because people, you know, again, individuals, neighbors, helping neighbors, coming together to have conversations about how we can get what we need. And then we also begin to look at, well, since the needs are so great, because it's 121 square miles of coverage here with 250,000, approximately 250,000 people, you know, these people need this, they need this, they need this. And it's like, okay, well, we can't address all these needs, but there are people out there that are working and that are relentlessly going after, you know, achieving some of these things. How do we partner with them to get them to come do what they do in our community?
Okay, so This is just absolutely amazing. In our notes, I see that you wanted to talk about your management style, and I think we've already sort of touched on that. Is there anything else you wanted to say about the way you choose to manage?
The way that I would say my management style is to set, a clear vision, help the team understand the big picture of, we are going to Disneyland or Disney World, and then their part in it, Mickey or whoever person X will be responsible for lodging. This person will be responsible for food. This person will be responsible for that. And when we get there, the work is, while it seems like it's a tall order or a big ask, when you break it down into the parts and understand it from a systems level, the work gets insanely, or not to use the same word over and over again, but it gets easier over time. And then also to coach, provide that constant feedback, make myself available to answer questions and hear concerns from the people who are actually implementing the work. Because I believe that as a leader, I should be, at the service of the people that that I lead. And then the last part is going to be to support, connect the team to resources and opportunities to help them win. Why people don't may not know or have all of the knowledge or the experience to be able to help them do their jobs. But what they do have in me is someone that is willing to help them grow, develop, see, and dream bigger, and allow them to win. Because for me, it's not important if I get the grant or if I get the big check or if I'm meeting with the donor. I want them to hear from the people that I have the pleasure and the privilege to lead each and every day, because they're the true rock stars that are making the organization become what it is to become, and ultimately impacting the community the way that it needs to be impacted. And Mickey, you're on mute. I'm not sure if you know that.
Technology. This is fantastic. I mean, and I applaud that. I think that a lot of leaders fail to put their goals in front of themselves, and that's just amazing. Let's talk about what advice would you give other nonprofit leaders in the work that they do? Would you have any tips or tricks for them?
Absolutely. And again, this may not apply to all, but I'm hoping that through this through my experience, people can take up one or two nuggets from this interview. The first thing would be get clear about and sell the problem you solve. Nonprofits were created to solve a problem. And then that's how that will give you a snapshot or a demographic of the people who care about that problem, which then become your donor and partner and funding base, because they're going to come alongside you to help you to be able to at least work towards solving that problem. Many of the problems that nonprofits solve, are chronic in nature, and they're not acute. They didn't happen overnight, and they won't be gone tomorrow. But the idea there is mission achievement, or accomplishment. What is our mission, and what does it look like for us to actually achieve it, so that we can essentially go out of business and go work on another problem? The second piece would be give more than you take. Our work in the nonprofit sector has to be more than about money. And to build on that, there is what I see in the nonprofit sector is a lot of transactional work taking place, exploitation, what can you do for me? How can you scratch my back? And so the work that we desire to do is transformational. We want it to actually have a lasting, sustainable impact. And so what we've learned over time is that you can't do transformational work with transactional people. It just doesn't, the vision and the values alignment there is just too great to overcome in many cases. And then the third thing would be to continuously invest in your personal and professional growth, LinkedIn learning, professional development, podcasts, because a lot of times, we see ourselves as leaders that we may not have it all. But, I'll be the first to note to tell people that I am not perfect. We don't have it all together. No matter what people see about our work, we're still constantly trying to improve the work, the way that we do our work and how we interact and coordinate and impact in our communities. I'm here today in my imperfect self, and I'm able to share with other people. And so looking at, sometimes we should be in the supporting seat to where we can kind of come sit, get, make and take, but also leave, you know, getting up and going back to speak at a conference or share your work with other people, because there is value in the work that we do, but there's even greater value when you share it with other people so that they can take some lessons learned from your work to be able to help them in their work to move forward.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Let's talk about the Empowerment Council's growth. How do you monitor your analysis? How do you conduct your marketing? And a slight step back is that I like the idea that you seem to have exit plans for programs, right? There's a bit of analysis that must go into figuring out whether or not a program is actually serving an active need, isn't there?
Absolutely. So, you know, conducting community needs assessments, you know, all of our forms, you know, that an intake data that we screen and, you know, our passengers, so to speak, and asking people, much like you would go to a restaurant, you know, sit down, how may I help you? You look at the menu and you say, well, based on what you have, here's what I'd like to eat or I'd like to drink. And then there's a representative or an employee associate that would go and take that to the kitchen where someone else would organize and prepare your food, and then that person, hostess or waiter, would bring the food back to you. And so there's a whole supply chain from our approach of how we actually go out and get and develop partnerships, but it's based on and driven by the needs of the community. And thinking about from a systems approach, you know, how can we help other people win? Our passengers want to succeed, the planes, airliners want to succeed, and how do we help them achieve that in an organized, efficient, and effective manner just by convening and collaborating and just being that, you know, PayPal-style partner that we're not here to take over anything. We're just here to be, you know, the middleman, so to speak, and to help people connect in ways that that would not be normal or possible had we not been in position to do that. And then you mentioned about, you know, networking, developing meaningful relationships and become, as I said, insanely interested in what your network or those people that make up your network are interested in. And so if I hear that, you know, Mickey is interested in, you know, his problem is, you know, youth development, specifically around middle school boys, you know, he sees that problem and he's dedicated, you know, a bit of his life and his work to that problem. Okay, well, then there may be a grant opportunity that has something around middle school boys, or we may even have a grant opportunity or a partnership opportunity to collaborate with Mickey on how he can help, you know, move impact for those boys. And so, you know, again, that systems level approach of always asking those questions of what keeps you up at night, how can we support you, how can our partners support you, and then how do we win together? Because 1 + 1 should equal 3. You know, we win, the community wins, the partners win. And then, so at that point, you know, everyone is having success and achieving a different level of success through collaboration and integration that may not have even been possible had we not come to the table, because this organization over here may have only been serving 5 people. They're serving 30 people. They're serving 10 people. At the end of the day, everyone's burned out and ready to throw in the towel. But what would it be like if we all convened ourselves and said, hey, we all want to grow and scale our organizations. What would it be like if we committed to serving the same 100 people and you take this lane, you take this lane, you take this lane. And at the end of the day, we all can, you know, have a sliver or a piece of that pie, but everyone eats.
Yep. Okay. I might have to make the title of this episode 1 + 1 = 3. That's good stuff. As you talk to other nonprofits, as you meet other people in the sector, what would you say are your lessons learned? What kind of overall tips and tricks would you give to other nonprofit managers that are maybe involved in entirely different realms of nonprofit work than you?
Gotcha. So, you know, relate. The first thing would be relationships produce resources. People give to people. They typically don't give to causes. You know, you get a phone call from your best friend, say, hey, I'm supporting a 5K run to save dogs. Okay, well, you know, I may not be connected to saving dogs, but it's my best friend, right? So let me chip in $50. Or, you know, your child is raising money for their school through a candle or cookie bake sale fundraiser. You support that because your child and you want your child's school to be successful. Now, whatever they're going to do with the money, it's fine, but the relationship is there through the child and the parent. And so, yeah, again, relationships produce resources. People give to people. And then the other deal, the number one rule in fundraising, as they always say, is people don't give because we don't ask. And so thinking about that, you know, the next one would be progress is a process. Our work is a marathon, not a sprint. Celebrate your wins along the way. And, you know, just always know that that progress each and every day is being made, and it is a process. And the last but not least point would be create value everywhere you go. Ask yourself how you can help someone else achieve their goals.
Ask yourself how you can help someone else achieve their goals.
That's right.
I like that.
Others focus, driven by others. And if you, as Dale Carnegie said, how to win friends and influence mm-hmm. others. If you help enough people achieve what they achieve, I think the quote is that it'll be, or the idea there is that it'll be returned to you to where it will allow you to achieve your goals as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Terrence, this is fantastic. I'm glad we made the time to get this interview done today. If a nonprofit manager or a listener, if any one of our listeners wanted to be in touch with you to learn more about your work with the East Harris County Empowerment Council, how would you suggest they find you? How would they get in touch with you?
Mainly through LinkedIn. So I'm there on LinkedIn under Terrence Narcisse, T-E-R-E-N-C-E. Narcisse is N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E. If they want to learn more about our organization, they can visit us online at www.eastharriscounty.org. And we are available on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, under the tag E-H-C-E-C.
E-H-C-E-C. Got it.
That's correct.
Awesome. Terrence, again, thank you for taking the time. I hope our paths cross again someday. This is excellent stuff.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Take care, Mickey.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.